traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Getting to live your life the way you should be allowed to and not be taken advantage of, or death. I'd rather fight this day to death than let it happen again and again and again.
Yeah! Thank you for the enthusiasm, Mike. And by the way, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing. If you're not subscribed, hit that button for me. Spencer, why are you so quiet today? You are so quiet. More quiet than usual for a vegan.
I don't know, man. I'm just...
Are you here?
Are you in the zone?
Are you here? Are you on this planet, bro?
Yeah.
Are you just emailing?
I'm just happy.
Okay, that's good.
I'm just in a good mood.
Why are you so happy?
I don't know, man.
I'm with you on that, by the way.
It's a good day.
You know the game Candyland?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in that game right now.
Great.
Hey, just sliding down ladders, bro.
I just got back from Vegas recently, and I was with the DJ. His name's DJ Ruckus. And I was like, hey, man, can I get your number? And he's like, sure. So he put his number on my phone, and I forgot I had already gotten his number a couple of years ago in Sundance.
Weird.
At the Sundance party. But he was in my phone as Sundance DJ, which was a bit awkward. And he saw that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, I guarantee everyone who knows Mike, and probably like Tana Monjo's here in the audience. She can probably vouch. Is he in your phone as Mike Lovesack?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Oh. Lovesack, actually.
Mike from Lovesack. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone knows you as Mike Lovesack.
Put in the first name and then wherever you know him from.
Yeah, awkward when they see. Because, like, I know DJ Ruckus, bro. For, like, 4 years now. We've been to Dubai together, Sundance, Coachella. Yeah.
You kind of got to embrace it. Like, I've looked at people's phones and just says Spencer Film Guy. I'm like,
talked about it with respect.
He was hurt, though.
Oh, he was?
About it. And he's performing in front at a marquee in front of all these people. And I'm just like, fuck, I know I hurt his feelings, bro.
Maybe he needed a little check, bro.
Well, this happened with me, too. It took you, 2 years to change my name from Mike Love? It was like an honorary day. You were like, Mike, you finally made it, dude. I'm putting your last name in.
Hey, David, you were David German for the longest time. And now you're David Shabazzabo.
I have him in my phone.
I don't know his last name.
Davidson.
Davidson.
That's what he's in my
his
phone.
Instagram.
Yeah, his Instagram.
Hey, Big Mike still. Hey, Big Mike. Well, that makes sense. Hey, can we talk about a girl? We went to Ohio recently, and a girl had this is interesting. A girl DM'd Mike because she knew we were coming to Cleveland, and some girls are just so straightforward with it. And I gotta commend this girl. What did she say to you?
You tell him.
I threw it to you because I didn't know specifically
she
verbatim.
She just said, like, I think people knew that I was in Cleveland. And she just said, well, I want to sit on your face while you're in Cleveland.
That's right.
Like, there was no hi, no hey, no how you doing, none of that stuff. And I showed Logan, and then...
I said, wow.
He was like, wow. And then what happened?
We were sitting at dinner, and by the grace of Steve Irwin, this girl came and sat down at the dinner table next to us. And Mike goes, hey, I think that's the girl that wants to sit on my face. I said, there's no fucking way, Mike. There's absolutely no way.
And there she was.
There she was.
And she came up after and she was like talking to me like.
She was cool.
She goes, I'm pretty sure I DM'd you earlier. Oh, you're pretty sure.
Is this a common thing in Cleveland? Like, is that all there is to do?
I didn't think sitting on faces was the only thing to do. I could
what
be
else
wrong.
Is there to do in Cleveland?
You could play ping pong.
Okay.
They have a casino.
That's
there.
Actually, yeah.
There's a ping pong casino.
Ping pong casino.
Interesting. So there's quite a few things to do.
She also knew quite a bit about the Gluck Gluck.
Shout out to the Call Her Daddy girls.
She
offered to give Mike a very good double-handed Gluck Gluck.
Double-handed Gluck Gluck. After I just fucked.
But did you accept?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Hey, should we bring on our guest?
Absolutely.
Probably.
She's dope. She's really dope. Guys, she is a former Disney star, now Hollywood superstar. She's actually a dear friend of mine and a peer. She's got 20 million followers on Instagram. And I was actually fortunate enough to have her star in one of my music videos. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Bella Thorne.
Let's go.
Here we go.
You got a chant?
Here we go. Who's chanting? Good to see you, Bella. Got the Corona.
You. Got a little bag
of
goodies there.
Got the bag of weed.
Just my traveling partners.
Yeah, the essentials.
you can essentials. How you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. Feeling like I should take off my purse.
Maybe.
Get comfortable.
I'm down and dirty for this conversation. Let's go.
I mean, that's what we do here on Impulsive. After all, we are the number one podcast in the world, and that's a stat. That's a fact. I wouldn't lie about that.
Amazing.
So look, Bella, you got this book here and you gave it to me. Mm-hmm. The Life of a Wannabe Mogul.
Mm-hmm. Mental disarray. Volume one, yeah.
Something you told me though, interesting. This copy actually is like not the final copy. Correct me if I'm wrong or.
No. Yeah. So this copy is also just like one of my art copies. Mm. You know, I got the first art copy and then now this is another one. And the first print actually of the book, I was notified, is missing one of my favorite poems. Yeah. Which will be very, very, very sad for me. And so we're also doing another rendition of the book now for our third print because we just got news we need another one of those.
But when you say first print, like that's 20,000 copies, mm-hmm. you told me, right? Okay, yeah. So
then second print, it's and not then
ideal.
Third print.
Not ideal.
So third print now is going to be completely inverted, like black, matte black with the red trees and the red foil and whatnot. Yeah.
So I was skimming through this last night and I'm super intrigued and impressed because the style, this isn't your typical book. I thought I was going to, because I don't really read, but this isn't, I wouldn't call it, no, I mean, because I don't know how to read.
There weren't too many pictures in there. So that's like
I saw some dogs in there, some cute dogs.
There were some, but how did you, can you punch in on this? It's like,
Oh, the cat with the cat with the cutter, the box cutter.
No. There's actual Polaroids of dogs in there.
Oh yeah. DT.
Yeah.
But this is, how did you make this? Did you type your thoughts on a typewriter and then have them all?
I did it all on a typewriter. Yeah. I wrote it in 2 weeks cause the first two books that I wrote actually got completely lost on a Delta flight. It's very unfortunate.
Can you explain how that happened?
I'm a dumbass and Maude told me that I should photocopy them. And obviously I was like, yeah, I'm putting it on my list, my to-do list. And then like, I was on tour when I was writing it anyway. And so it was already kind of like loose in that sense. And I had two of them
Books.
All handwritten. I talk about that in my intro page. It hurt so bad because for so long I tried to get it back because I was just like, no, like this is like this
can't
is
be happening.
Come on, Delta. Like, what are you? And the stewardess on the flight too was taking a bunch of photos with me, and she saw me writing. She asked me what the book was about. And so I'm just thinking like either they're lost in the abyss, never to be appreciated, or she has them.
but they were handwritten, right?
There's one of one. I can't get anything of that back, and it's unfortunate because I literally wrote it on like three or four tours. So
what
it's
did,
like a
what
lot
did it happen for a reason?
Things.
Is this book better?
I mean, I think it's much better in a lot of different ways. That book was way different, but that book was more of like what I want the third book to be like, which is very much of how to be a mogul coming from literally nothing, having no background, you know, learning how to read from acting, reading scripts, learning how to count from counting my dad's cash, like literally having no schooling background in writing a book, writing a feature, writing a series right now that I'm writing, like just how to do it. And literally having no experience, it's really unfortunate because I have a lot of even the names of all the companies that I have now before we could use those names. So we've got like all of our names that we try to get like we have. And it's just so many good memories in those two books of like real like step by step. How do we do this? Because I didn't know how to fucking do it. And my agents, everybody was just like, it's going to be really difficult. You should just do it like this way instead and just put your face on set like this. And I was just like, oh, watch me. Watch me.
I mean, I'm going to do what I want. Yeah.
This book is riddled with really, really impressive feats, especially like because of the harsh upbringing that you did have. And I want to ask, is there something innate in you that made you special and able to achieve the things that you achieved? Or do you think every person has something inside them that can allow them to achieve their goals no matter where they come from?
Oh yeah, 100%. Obviously the second option. With me, like, I don't really think that there's like this whole like, oh, that somebody's so special. Like, we're all so unique that in a sense, no matter what, we are so special. No person is ever the same, you know? So to me, the special thing, that word has no meaning when it comes to people. Cause really everybody is, you know,
How did you find that special piece? If there's like people watching that feel like they're not special, you know, which there probably are. Like, how did you find it?
I felt not special my whole life. I mean, like I was just bullied really heavily in school. My first language is Spanish and I had to drop Spanish to learn English to then learn how to read, which didn't come until I was like 8 or 9. And it like I never felt like everybody was just like, you can't do it. And I think that who really got me here is like my father's worth ethic. He always said, if you're going to do something, then you better be the best damn at it. Like, you better literally break your bones trying to be the best. And I really do think that that's how I got here, with all the different shit that I like to do, the mogul type vibe of dipping my hand in every pot. Because I really didn't have like a background of being like, you know, oh, do this or do that. And it's kind of just like,
what does being a mogul mean to you?
To me, being a mogul means like having 7 passive incomes and like 3 companies that you work on, and then 2 other ones that are over here. Like,
who are some examples of moguls?
I mean, like, obviously Elon Musk, for sure. You know, there's quite a lot of moguls, you know, even there's a lot of moguls out there. But for me, it's definitely just dipping your hand in every pot and really kind of trying everything and making it work.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Somehow.
The reason I ask is because, like, we talked about this and I'm sort of wrestling it with it in my personal life, is like, how many things should you do before you're doing too many things? Before you're not, you should, I mean, because, you know, you put all your eggs in one basket and it works and you're the biggest in the world. Mm-hmm. But, and you do a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you make music, you mm-hmm. act, you write, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you do many, many other things and other forms of creative expression. Do you feel like you're doing too much?
You know, I always feel like I'm doing too much. Like, my body's just gonna kind of just give out on me because I don't feed it the proper food that I should be. You know, I don't sleep. I don't, like, there's so many things that I don't do right with my body, and constantly working and constantly having my mind go. Like, you know, I've been working since I was 6 weeks old. Out of the womb, I just did child modeling. I was on the cover of like Italian Vogue by the time I was like a little thing.
Who put you in
know, that? Like, my mom did. Okay, yeah. Okay. We all did modeling growing up. And so, like, for me not to work is honestly much weirder. Like, if I'm upset, I throw myself into work. If I'm happy, I throw myself into work. Whatever I'm doing, I throw myself into work. And I think that it is too much. And then all of a sudden I see an opportunity come and I'm like, oof, but it might be too much on your plate. And I'm like, but it's right there. So let me just do it anyway.
Yeah. I noticed that. I'm actually really impressed at how punctual and hardworking you are, even though you have a massive amount of success. And like, you could have easily showed up to this podcast an hour late, but you were 10 minutes early. And it's always been like that, even for my music video. Like, you gave me 3 days. You were on time every day and there for the amount we needed you. So I definitely have to commend you on that. And you hinted that the work ethic came from your father, who I know you talk about in this book. And he passed away when you were 10, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like 9, yeah.
And what? How did that affect the rest of your childhood? Because I know you have a rocky relationship with your mother, or so. That's what I got from this book. And so, yeah, how did that affect you?
I mean, in so many ways that I can't even put my finger on. You know, to me though, the most thing that it really affects me on is like, yeah, what I talk about in the book is like the whys and all the questions, you know, all the constant questions every day that you literally never get past or get over. And that is really the most difficult thing. Like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will know, even when you have a dad, you could have a dad who's literally there and it's a wall, it's talking to a wall. So therefore you don't have a father in a sense. So I'm sure a lot of people can agree with this, but growing up without a dad, like, you know, like, Father's Day was rough. Going on Instagram is fucking annoying when all you see is, you know, daddy, daddy, daddy. Thinking about your wedding day is annoying. Thinking about having coffee is annoying. Thinking about any time that you're like, wow, I like Carnegie Hall. Carnegie Hall was really, really hard because that would have been something that he would have thought was like really amazing. And it's just going through really big moments in your life, and you kind of look around and you see everybody has like a good amount of family, or not with me as so much. I think I attract friends that also have kind of more fucked up families because that's just kind of like my my little tentacles. That's just my vibe.
Bringing your peeps.
There's the passage in here, the one about your dad. It says, everything happens for a reason, right? Well, I might be stuck searching for that reason every single day for the rest of my life. So maybe it's better for me to stop now. And I also like to adopt the mentality that everything happens for a reason, but sometimes I'm not quite convinced I need to know what that reason is. Mm. Is that where you've landed on that?
I think my mind stirs on that a lot, you know, the why me, the why not me, you know, that kind of thing of it all is, you know, it's kind of like when you're so angry at something that you have to find somebody to blame for it. So my reason to blame is what is the reason, you know? And that's the reason of so irritating that I still go to sleep with or wake up with. And I'd like to stop searching, and that's obviously what I say, but you know, let's be realistic. Probably not.
How much do those like external factors of trauma from your past and, you know, losing your dad and that kind of stuff, impact what you do now from like an art standpoint, from like a talent standpoint?
I think it impacts it like in every sense of what I do, you know, even when I direct, I pretty much only like to direct, really more on the darker side. By the time this comes out, the Famous Dex video should be out that I just directed, that I'm about to direct, and it's called Suicide Watch, and it's kind of all everything that I write or do or see or watch. Like I don't really watch comedy that much, like, you know, at all. Like, you gotta really talk me into watching a comedy. I'm pretty much only psychological thriller horror.
Who's a dark creative that you admire or look up to? Like, you like Jordan Peele?
I love Jordan Peele. I love Guillermo del Toro. Quentin Tarantino is my favorite. Marilyn Manson is just, I just love him.
Oh, he gave you an excerpt in this. Mm-hmm. I saw. That's awesome. A lot of big people gave you excerpts.
Snoop Dogg's is so funny, and Jason Reitman's is my favorite. Fucking cool.
Let me read Jason's. I like Diplo's the best. I want to read that. Jason, Bella Thorne writes poetry as a kidnapper might leave a ransom note. It's a threat, and I don't think she's fucking around. Damn.
That's awesome.
Diplo said, hey, I didn't read this book. Bella gave it to me, and I left it on an airplane. That was his accent.
That's so Diplo.
Like, shout out Diplo, dude. Respect. Snoop Dogg, sitting here smoking, checking out this book of poems from my homegirl, Bella. Damn, girl, you dope as a motherfucker. I didn't know he had rhymes and rhythms and such words of magnitude and gratitude with just a little bit of attitude.
How does that feel getting shouted out by Snoop?
Well, luckily, actually, Snoop and I hang out quite often. So from him was just, it's just amazing to look at it. Like Snoop Dogg. I never even thought I'd be friends with Snoop Dogg or smoke with Snoop Dogg. He tells me I'm one of the only ones that can keep up with him.
Really?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, my that's God. That's a massive
compliment. That's a lot of weed. That's
a lot of weed.
That is stoner.
How much weed do you have to smoke to keep up with Snoop Dogg?
A lot of weed. Yeah,
like
how much can he go through in like a sitting, like a few ounces, a pound? Like, how much are we talking?
In a day, it really depends on what I'm doing. Yeah. You know, it depends also how stressed out I am. Like, you know, how many people I'm smoking with. If I only really smoke in groups, and then so many people are smoking, and I only smoke it if I roll it. So then I'm like just constantly rolling and rolling.
Have you thought of hiring a roller?
No, because I only smoke it if I roll
it.
Why?
Yeah,
why?
I don't know. It's really I'm so specific and neurotic in the weirdest way that this has just become a thing for me. And now I can't get past this thing because it would be much easier if I could smoke shit that other people rolled.
It's so funny you say that, because when I used to smoke a lot, I had to roll too. Like, there would be a group of four of us and other people would be like, I bought the the wrap. I want to roll it. And I'm like, no, I'm rolling it.
I have to.
And I think it hints at something that also is a part of this book, which is the layout of it. Mm. And I think what it is you're an artist. You're just an artist in everything you do, whether it's putting a book together that's laid out in a cool artistic way, or rolling a joint that is artistically perfect and has the right filter, you know, the right mouthpiece and all that good stuff that you put into it. So it's probably an art thing.
I like that note. How do you use darker art and darker content? How do you think it can benefit people?
I think that in our world, you need to feel like you can relate to somebody. And the worst thing you can do is show this perfect, like to me, you know, even before I was doing this, I went out of my way to show my cystic acne, or as my friend Scott once said, you go out of the way to make yourself ugly, which was offensive. And I don't think that's true, but okay. But like, I just, you know, like I have a ban on like anybody that I work with that shoots photos of me. They just can't edit it. Or like, you know, like you can see it on my Instagram. If I have cellulite, I let it show, because in any sense, it's like you just don't want to put out, in my opinion, this image that is so beautiful. It's not obtainable. It's not relatable. It's not realistic. Mm-hmm. It's not logistic. It's literally just like, it doesn't make any sense to me in that way to keep preaching this like image. So I think that the darker content with me is great. 'Cause when I see dark content, I can relate to it, or it'll make me cry, or something that'll really touch me. And hopefully, you know, I can keep doing that with other people.
You open this book.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Love that.
Awesome. The second page says, so if you don't like how I do things, or how I say things, or how I spell things, you can kindly fuck off. Seriously. And then you spelled seriously wrong, but I think that was probably like a play on what you just said.
No.
or maybe you seriously are you dyslexic?
I'm dyslexic.
That's right.
Super dyslexic.
Gotcha. All right. So look, like, it's quite obvious that you're a fucking badass, Bella. Does that ever backfire?
All the time.
Really?
All the time.
It really
time,
does.
Man.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Like when? Like ever in relationships?
No. No, actually, not so much. I'm actually very, what's it called?
Lenient?
I like to say that I never pick an argument, but that's not true. But it's more of like, I don't like if I'm dating somebody, and you know, when you get in a relationship, all of a sudden you start to notice these things about the person that you're like, oh, this kind of bugs me.
Yeah,
and, oh, this,
yeah.
I don't like. Well, they're always like, well, they mention it, right? And they're like, oh, this thing, like, or can you shave your legs, or like this or that, or some shit, let's say. And like, for me, if I notice some shit that, or is a red flag or something that I don't like, I just don't say anything about it. Like,
you're,
it's not
slide.
It's not even like letting it slide. I'm like, well, I started dating you, so then if I change you, I'm not gonna like the person that you become, because I liked you for literally yourself, like,
but,
you know,
but you liked the portion of them that you knew and saw, and as your relationship gets
true.
More and more complex, you know, I mean, I think any healthy relationship, there's a bit of molding with each person.
Well, of course there's a bit of push and pull. I just don't personally, like, you know, like if something is gonna really fucking bug me, but what's gonna really bug me that much? Like, you know,
farting,
like
what about severe farting?
No, I go to the bathroom with the door open. Like,
oh, that's
I don't,
hard.
Like,
it's funny because I think this whole, what you're saying is also kind of like a whole precautionary tale to getting into relationships too fast, too. Mm-hmm. Because if you spend a little bit of time figuring the person out, like spending time with them, hanging out with them,
then
you,
you
might
know.
See those red flags
already,
beforehand.
Yeah.
You could like
pull back. Yeah. See, me, I just can only do long-term relationships. I've got a serious problem. I don't like to date. I don't like to be lonely. And I'm just like, well, hop back into another 2-year relationship. Hold on, give me a minute. Like,
I think that goes like hand in hand too with like being passionate and artistic. Like I just feel like that's all rolled into that same thing. Like, you're a lover, you're passionate, mm-hmm. you're artistic. Like, that's mm-hmm. just who you are.
And
you
when
know?
I'm like getting off of set and I'm exhausted or some shit, like I don't want to like be like, oh, who's that? Like, anybody want
to
hang out?
Go to
like,
the club.
If I'm like, you know, horny and lonely, then I want like my one person that's like there, and I'm like, bro, cool. Like, then we're gonna binge your favorite show. Like, it's the same shit, top ramen with parmesan on top, like, let's go. Like,
nice.
You know,
that sounds nice.
That does sound really nice.
That's cool. So I, when does being a badass fire
back? Oh yeah, all the time. Let me
back
think.
Yeah, fire back,
you know.
I'm tired, dude.
It's
I sparred this morning. I did 12 rounds. I did 12 fucking rounds.
Damn.
All right, so easy, Tiger. I'm shorting out a little bit.
How many hits to the face?
I think I got like two to me, but I got a lot of body shots in there, bro.
12 dude, rounds, and you only got 2 hits.
He doesn't take it
that's
easy.
Impressive,
that
bro.
Dude he spars is tough, bro.
So when is being a badass backfire.
All the time, you know, like when just I think being a badass is just being honest in a sense. And in this world, honesty, this day and age, is just so rare that when you're honest, you're all of a sudden a badass. But it's really just like, bro, we're just being honest over here. Like everybody thought that that I came out on Twitter and like, oh my God, that's so badass. And I was just like, I mean, I just tweeted. Oh, like,
that was
like,
someone tweeted at you and said,
"Are you bisexual?" And I was just like, "Yeah."
That's literally all you said.
Yeah,
and that was you coming out.
Yeah,
it's fucking incredible. Like, absolutely incredible.
But it was just being honest.
You know,
like,
I love
yeah.
it. That's amazing. I mean, that's my whole thing. I think authenticity and relatability are the two biggest things you can have nowadays.
Yeah, for sure.
And especially your conversations in there, and also even just now on the show about mental health. Mm. When we started talking about depression and anxiety on the show and how people can work to combat those, and by the way, feel free to talk about it in front of mass amounts of people. The feedback we got in those mental health conversations were greater than any bullshit, like foo-foo conversation we've had.
Yeah.
People want to hear about shit they could relate
to. Of course, because it's real. And it's things that like, okay, so it used to be kind of like, oh, my one friend is like depressed, or like, you know, the depressed girl in school, or like this thing. And now you look around and it's every one of your friends. It's almost every other person you meet on the street. This generation is literally so depressed.
Why?
Clinically,
why,
actually,
Bella?
I really think obviously phones, you know, it's addictive. It's a high, 100%. You know, it might as well be a literal drug. It's very in your face all the time and something that we can't escape. Imagine a drug, but being pushed in your face every second of the day, everywhere you look, to your left or your right. Yeah.
It's a dopamine.
Yeah,
they actually like are proving that it's the dopamine hit. And when you're creative and you're using your imagination, you're outside of the front part of your brain that controls, it's only 20% of your brain. So our phones keep us in it. So we don't have time to go into
the
other 80% of our brain
like
that holds the creativity and imagination.
That's from that article. Remember we read the one about boredom, the
death
of boredom. Boredom
is great.
Great.
Boredom is necessary.
Boredom has driven so many great ideas in this world. I'm sure like when SpaceX was thought of, when a lot of these ideas were thought of, it was through sitting somewhere with nothing to do. And
now just going
we're
on a walk.
And now we're never bored because someone just posted a new aspect. Yeah. Some new app just get like, and so like that death of time to sit and like think about what could be.
We said this
so
in Ohio.
Yeah.
Andre, you heard us. Jake and I were walking around, like I think at a bagel shop on Saturday morning, and it's just like kind of gloomy and there's nothing to do. And we're like, no fucking wonder we started making videos. There is nothing to do here.
Yep.
Like, and then I picked up this weird like yo-yo device called the Diabolo. And I was like, why do I know how to, like, why
that was
I,
impressive.
Bro,
you didn't whip the, I could have sworn you whipped that since you were a kid.
I was. That's I've been whipping it since I was a kid, bro.
Okay, okay.
Well, because you just pick up these random hobbies and you got sucked into entertainment so young. And I think that was your outlet in a way.
I will say one thing about the phones. I think that us as bigger companies should obviously go out of their way to try and control this narrative that just keeps just like drowning us. You know, there's got to be some type of algorithm. I think with Instagram, they should really snap down, sorry, Tana, on Facetune and Photoshop. And
oh,
all
shit.
These
not like this. Not like
oh
this.
Oh my God.
Hey, Tana just went off on Instagram,
like,
by the way. Hey,
like,
happy birthday.
Wait, today? Hey. Happy birthday, Tana.
You Facetuned it.
Curious, I have a question for the two of you, actually. How do you guys think, oh, wow, she went in.
She really
Look
went
at that.
For it.
That's Look at that.
My Instagram photo on that
She's
screen.
A hot bitch.
Woo!
Is there some Facetune on that?
No,
that,
no
that's
way.
All. She looks exactly like that right now.
I kind of like shave my vagina.
Oh, I know. I'm like looking at that. Like,
you shave your vagina and face.
Shave or shape.
How
do you shave your vagina and face too?
Save money on razors, right?
Hold
That's
on, but how
amazing.
Do you shave your vagina and Facetune
in
under
face
an outfit?
Tune?
Do you know what I
mean? Like, it's like there's a little like pussy moment.
Tana, this is you're really doing it.
This is rich and compelling.
I'm Lego bitches. I'm Lego bitches.
Yo, so back to reality here. How do you two think that your content is affecting that mental health conversation? Do you think it's improving mental health, or do you think some of your content has contributed to that problem?
It's a great question.
My literal content?
Yeah, yeah, both of you guys. I'm curious what both of you think.
Have we contributed to or helped, mental
or
health?
Or helped. You've definitely helped, I would assume, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm constantly having this conversation. I think that this book a lot will help people. Every time that I've read it at a reading or anything, I'll pick a few pages, and the amount of people that come up to me and tell me their stories of abuse is honestly really disgusting and saddening. It's like a lot of fucking people in the room. It's really disturbing. It makes me, one of my last interviews, I just cried so hard after, because I just heard this such a sad story, and it just like, oh, it got me so good. And then I had to walk out in paparazzi, and I just like have this fake ass smile on my face, and I'm just like, damn, like this shit is really dark. So I think that in ways like that, I'm trying to think of a way that I didn't help. And I mean, I guess in general, like if you're looking at me and you're like, oh, like this is like one of those celebrities that's like, you think, oh, it's so perfect and happy, and like, oh, look at like what she has and like this and that and all those things, then yeah, that's never going to make you feel good about anybody or anything. You know, Instagram is literally just a form of like, look at all the most amazing things I have and my most amazing self. That's not actually you. So that's why I've tried to go, and especially more on the last 2 years on my side, on my whole Instagram, my whole public image is like trying to be the most like
authentic,
like look at me, look my worst in yes. a sense, like this is my worst. That's totally dope as well. Like, you know, but that's, obviously that's people don't see it that way.
That's super brave.
Thanks. It's definitely makes me a target for ridicule. That's for sure.
How about you over there, LP?
Hey, I wrestle with this a lot too, because my approach is a little, maybe because I'm like a man and, you know, I grew up playing sports, like testosterone. I'm a fucking man. Fuck! I pooped just now.
Yeah, I heard it.
You sharted.
Yeah, it's a quick little shart.
No, my approach is a little more like head down. You can do it. Believe in yourself. Don't let anyone tell you no or you can't. And I've not always in the past been as maybe vulnerable as I should be, because I wonder what's more effective. And I would love to hear the audience's opinions on this. Like, are you more inspired, or do you feel more yourself when people or your influencers or the idols are telling you that you can and to be positive, or when you see your idols being more human and vulnerable and more real?
I think that's a great question.
What makes you feel like you can? What makes you feel better? Because I don't know if there's like a right answer per se, and I'm sure everyone's different, but it is a great question.
Because I think that persona that you create when, you know, you have this...
Oh, that's hard.
Oh, wow. Okay. Joint just flew in.
Shout out
from
Tana.
Nowhere.
Shout out Tana Mojo.
I think that persona that you create on Instagram or social media that portrays, I don't even want to call it perfection. I think it's just like your ideal life. Like, you're just using your creativity. You're using your imagination to create this persona. I feel like how people perceive that and compare and judge.
Like, well, also why I think it works for me is like my authenticity. Like, you guys know me. Not often am I...
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Crying or truly opening up and being vulnerable, it's something I'm working on, obviously, but it is authentic to me to be that guy who's always like I'm a fucking delusional optimist. I believe anyone can do anything. I like yes until no.
Until
still then you can do it.
My guess on that too, by the way, is I think that Bella's ability to show her human side is potentially more valuable. This would be my guess, because when it comes to celebrities, everyone already knows that they're winning. Everyone already knows that their ability to be strong, put their head down and grind. The relatability, though, when someone talks about the struggles and failures they've had to get there, I think is super valuable.
Thank you, Mike.
I have a question.
Being so nice to me today.
Can you zoom into this?
Oh yeah, can we try to get a thumbnail?
Can you be Elon Musk? How else can you recreate this photo? The Elon Musk face.
What's the face?
He's got like the eyebrow, like
kind of like fish lips.
Can we get an actual photo of it?
There's just smoke coming out.
Here, hold it sideways so we get a little wider aspect ratio.
Is this it? Is this what you want? How about this
camera right here? Yeah, hold it in your hand and then puff out your lips and then like raise one eyebrow.
You really do have a young
there
mogul.
We go. That's good right there.
A young Elon Musk in the house.
That was a photo. That was great stuff.
Bella, what about people that reach out to you with like mental health problems and like questions? Because I'm sure there's so many of them. How do you like try to re-engage once when people provide actual issues? Like I'm sure you see messages all day, like I want to kill myself, like all these things.
Do you engage?
Do you ever
with them?
Respond, or is it just impossible and you just send broad messages?
It's okay. So it depends on what it exactly says. If you write me that you're going to kill yourself in a tweet, I won't respond because I have dealt with a lot of in my own personal experience of when you get the gratification that you're looking for, which is somebody being like, don't do it, please don't do it, you're so strong. Therefore, you keep going back to that mindset whenever you need somebody to tell you that again. Mm. But the problem is going to that first mindset in general. You know, that is kind of a trigger effect. And I think it's almost a teaching thing that's like, you know, when you're like, somebody help me, you're literally saying, someone please help me right now. And instead of saying it in the sense of, well, I'm going to kill myself if you don't help me, that I think just teaches the mind to go there immediately every single time. So no, but when people reach out to me about mental health in general, problems they're experiencing or their family or this and that, yeah, then it's always a bigger conversation to be had, because every scenario with this, somebody asked me to like give advice to kids in my situation. And I was like, I can't really give advice because every situation is so differently unique when it comes to this type of background that I'd have to have a one-on-one conversation with someone to actually give them advice about their specific scenario, because the lines here, they're very thin and it's hard to, you know, not cross any of them because it's such a tough thing.
Have you ever had to deal with medications?
I am personally don't believe in pills. I won't even take an Advil or a Tylenol.
Really?
When I get my period, it sucks so bad.
How come? That's one I've heard this before. And like, mad noble, but also like sometimes the Advil just gets rid of my headache and it's awesome.
Oh, I know, but it's a blood thinner. It's a really strong blood thinner. And, you know, my dad, he had a lot of heart. He died from a heart attack, technically a motorcycle accident, but his heart gave out on him. And, you know, just, I also have a fear of pills. Like I try to take vitamins. I try to force myself. And a lot of times I have to literally just grind them into my smoothies, which tastes disgusting because I literally also don't like taking pills. Like I think I have a literal fear of like,
you ever think of sprinkling it on your joint and just smoking some vitamin B?
That sounds awful. Yeah. What the fuck?
Sorry. I thought you were going to say awesome.
Don't
I was so
knock
excited.
It till you try it.
No, that was a horrible a shot, idea. Maybe. Don't do that.
I don't know.
Not recommended. Not recommended at all.
It's like when you eat a fry and like the sharp end gets jammed in your throat. Is that what you're afraid of?
I don't know, honestly.
What a stupid fucking question.
We are failing.
I don't know specifically what it is, but I do know that that's just me personally, you know. But I know a lot of friends that are on medication and they love it. And you know, it really does make a difference and help them. So again, it's so specific to your situation.
We've talked about medication quite a bit on this show. And I think like the end point for it was medication being used to get you to a point where you're stable enough to actually attack the problems that are causing the situation for you is something that makes sense. If you're in a really bad place and you need it to get to a place to have a fighting chance, then that makes sense. But I also don't agree with like years and years and years of taking meds, but not handling the problem, not making changes in your life or seeing a therapist or whatever. Yeah. So
I just pulled up the statistic that says U.S. suicide rates are the highest they've been since World War II. So playing on pills and mental health, like We're definitely in a scary trend right now.
Remember when I said, like, everybody around you, all your friends, every single person in this room has serious depression, and it used to be just a thing where you're like, oh, this one person you knew or these two people you knew, but now it's literally basically the whole generation in a sense. It's really scary.
Depression or anxiety.
I don't think it's a whole generation.
I think it's a huge percentage.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 2016. There was 6.1 million children with ADHD. So
you have a passage about that, or ADD. What's the difference? Do we know? Attention deficit disorder.
Hyperactivity.
Yeah. It's the same shit though. Yeah. Or no?
Yeah, very similar.
But similar.
You have a hair right here, and I'd be a shit friend if I didn't say anything. It's not a big deal. I just can notice it. No, it's like right. It's like kind of like falling.
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
There you go. There you go. That's great.
So sorry. a good friend.
Some may call it ADD. ADD. I call it the signs of a creative mind.
Mm-hmm. And I really believe that.
I think so too. Do you think you have ADD or ADHD?
I think that I definitely probably have a lot of things. And I was watching this thing recently on ADHD, which I actually hadn't done that much research into it. And man, when they talk about the routines that is like good to keep you in, and like just like the brain, the way the things it goes to, and like they talk about like, you know, working out and literally just putting yourself in routine. And I constantly crave routines. Like,
yeah,
it's really weird. Like I'll be like for 3 months, I ate burgers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's a lot of burgers.
A lot of burgers. And then all of a sudden just done with it.
There was 2 months
I ate pizza all day. Like it was just, I am really weird about routines. And I think that it's because my body is craving it in that sense. And I might definitely have
routines
ADHD.
Are so strong.
Yeah,
routines are everything. Kevin Hines, one of my friends who actually survived a suicide attempt off the Golden Gate Bridge, said routine was one of the strongest things that helped him escape his depression, because he just focused on different things every day. Takes 30 days to form a habit and 90 days to what's the step up from like a behavior. I think that was it.
What he does 5 or 6 23-minute workouts per day at specific times.
He's got
like
it down to a science.
He's so structured about it, but it's a routine is literally one of the most important things.
Is Ritalin still being prescribed for kids with ADHD? I remember when I was people are nodding at me, so yes. But I haven't heard about it in a long time.
That's because everyone's
what's the difference between Adderall and Ritalin?
Adderall and Ritalin are central nervous system stimulants used to treat attention deficit disorder.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're pretty much the same thing.
Okay. Hey, can we do a segment? We do segments on this show, and I think I have a fun one that we can break it up a little bit. And if Mike could open the soundboard and pass.
I always forget the
one. You know, fuck this shit. The segment is called More Than 280. I have a PowerPoint here, as we do. Dylan made it. Shout out, Dylan.
Oh, thanks.
Here we go.
Let's do a segment.
There we go. Let's do a fucking segment. The segment's called More Than 280. So, you didn't hear it?
Do I need these on?
No.
Okay.
Let's do a segment.
Character limit on Twitter, 280 characters. But I want to read some of your tweets and have you dive into them more than what we see on Twitter.
Okay.
Here we go. Ugh, I hate hitting on girls. Like, why is this so hard? I don't know what to say besides you're fucking beautiful. Do you often find yourself not knowing what to say when you're hitting on girls? And is that different from hitting on guys?
It's very different, as well as because, like, you know, with guys, it's like most of the time, you know, like I have a lot of guy friends in general, but like a good amount of the guys that come up to me, I'm like, what, you like me? Like, I just have to kind of assume in a sense that you do, just in case you try something that I'm not like, oh, I didn't know. Like, you know, like I'm just kind of already going to assume that maybe you might make a move on me. And I'm just very open. Like, I'm just like, oh, yo, can I get your number if I like somebody and they're like, didn't ask me for mine or something. But with girls, it's like, you know, do they want to be besties? Do they think I'm trying to be besties? Like when I'm like, yeah, we should hang out. Like, give me your number. And they're like, oh my God, totally. Like, let's go out to lunch and da, da, da. And I'm like, yeah, let's go to lunch and.
Well, is it because you don't know how? That's the thing. Is it because you don't know if you're trying to make out or if they're just trying to be a friend? Like, exactly. When are you in James Charles territory where you're hitting on straight women?
Yeah, do you know if they're straight or Not straight.
Exactly. You don't know. You don't. That's tricky, you don't really know. And I won't say much about the James Charles situation, but I did stick up for him on Insta and Snap because I also was like, but what if I'm a guy and I go and I just hit on this girl? Well, she's not necessarily like reciprocating this to me. Mm. Like I don't know until I try in a sense. And she says no. And when she says no, then you say okay, bye.
We also didn't have a problem with it.
Like it's with me kind of the same thing with girls is I'm like, oh my God, you're so fucking beautiful. And they're like, oh my God, baby, you are too.
You're so
wow,
pretty.
Your skin
you want to go
so
to the
good.
Bathroom.
And
yeah.
I'm just like.
Like, is there a secret look?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What is it?
Something.
What is it?
I have one thing. What if you say to them, this is a good question. You want to get out of here? Like when you say you want to get out of here to somebody,
that
no.
That feels so like.
You don't like it?
Like,
not maybe not in that
it feels
voice,
like you're sexualizing it.
I've seen this in movies. I've seen this in movies. The girls are hanging out and all of a sudden they just start making out. And I don't know how it could happen any other way. I'm just not. Is there like some.
I cannot.
I feel like you probably just have to get good at feeling the vibe, right?
I know. I just have to get good at feeling the vibe.
It's are you there?
How did you feel Tana's vibe? How did you know about Tana?
The first time I met her, she literally, I didn't even, she just was like, hey, can I get a photo of us kissing? That was like the first thing she said.
Tana, are you bi?
We've had this conversation. Yeah, on this
she said it
wow.
like 4 years ago.
What'd you say?
That's,
yeah, she is.
I said I really don't like boxes, Logan, but I would.
Oh, that's right.
Pansexual if I
had
to.
Okay. Yeah, she said it just
but,
like
but
that.
But you're bi, Bella.
She
yeah.
She said it just like that. I'm also pans. I didn't know actual. I feel like also another thing that's really bad in our community in general is like if you don't know something, why you're beaten down so hard for not knowing. But the only way to teach somebody something is by teaching them and not beating them down for not knowing. So I didn't actually know the difference between pansexual and like I just knew that it was different than bi.
So somebody explained
it to me the other day when I asked and I was like, do I sound really stupid? Do you hate me? And she's like, no, stop. It's great to ask a question. I was like, okay, all right. That was nice, you know, and now I can spread the message.
Oh, great.
Look.
Here we are.
But if she would have beat me down for it, I wouldn't be here talking about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so it worked like that better. But it basically means like I like what I like. I don't have a preference. I like the soul in a sense. Mm. Like, you know, it doesn't really matter to me at all who she, them, he, they, what it's just if I like a vibe.
And so that's different
then I
from
like that.
Bisexual
bi is just like
men
girl
and women.
Or bi. I mean, girl or guy. Yeah.
So
and
where, so when you're
as far as
pants,
I know, don't beat me up over it, guys. As far as I know of, please teach me a lesson. Don't fucking beat me up over it. Oh my God.
So
please.
When you're pansexual, that goes out to like transgender.
Yeah. I'm
like
just
all,
down.
And how about as far as like bestiality? Like where I'm just curious. Like, does it is the line ever?
I hope
is
you're
it just
making a joke?
I was
quite different things.
Curious. Okay, I'm literally curious.
Do you think me sitting across
not you,
from
not you,
you.
No, not
I
you.
Would.
I just mean like if someone is says like I'm pansexual. Like where
it
does
doesn't
that
doesn't include bestiality?
Okay.
No.
I'm dead serious. I was dead serious.
Does it include inanimate objects? I've seen
no,
other shows.
Like,
True Life. Like I'm married to a bridge.
That's what
have
I'm
you
asking.
Seen that?
That's what I'm
asking.
She's married to
a
bridge.
About this.
You're making a movie about being married to a bridge.
What are the odds?
Yo, bridges are chill.
Not a bridge, but it is an object.
What's the object?
I can't tell you.
Come
it's
on,
a secret.
Just say it.
No, we're
what is
writing it?
It.
I can't.
All right. Objects are more reliable for sure. Pansexual. the definition says it's attraction towards people regardless of their sex or gender.
Suppose
so
it has to
doesn't
people.
Matter.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. It's people. Yeah. No beasts.
Good question. I was wondering the same thing. I'm glad Mike said
because
it.
Because you've seen shows where they're like, I'm in a relationship with my couch cushions. We've seen
who
the
knows?
Shows. So yeah. Like, I didn't know.
Who knows? You can have sex with anything nowadays.
Yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't.
Bridges are.
Have you guys
bridges.
Had sex with inanimate objects?
What? You should what?
You should
You should have sex with whatever you goddamn please. Quick, find me.
If
go.
You're in love with the bridge,
no!
You're in love with the bridge.
No!
That bridge is for you. You what, love that bridge.
What's
you know?
The weirdest object that you
if
guys have had sex with?
Me?
Well,
yeah.
What's going
body,
on?
Body pillow. Body pillow. Yo, no fucking guy in this room can tell me that they did not have sex with a pillow when they were going through puberty at
oh
the age
God.
Of 13, 14.
You weren't even having sex. It was just happening without you even doing it. You're like, how did
like,
I start humping
happening?
This pillow and why is this coming out of my penis right now?
That's what happened. Yo. Man, this is going to get age-gated. The first time I came, bro, I was like, what is this? Yeah. I didn't know. So I went to the store, I bought condoms, and I was like, I'm gonna collect it and find out what's happening. Because, hey, shout out mom and dad. They never gave me the talk, dude. My dad never told me what masturbating was, ever. Or anything about sex, which is so odd because we're so open. I had to discover it on my own. And then guess what? You hump your body pillow one too many times, bro, and a little hole forms there. Yeah, and the orgasms are four times as good.
Oh, wow. In the little hole.
You saw in that one show. What's that one show? The Big Mouth? Big Mouth. If anyone's seen here the cartoon Big Mouth, the dude is in love with a pillow.
Uh-huh. Can I out myself on something? I skipped the pillows and went to down comforters. Like a good grip on a down comforter because it's nice and soft and a little bit less like pressurizing and textureless.
Did you ever have sex with an inanimate object growing up?
No.
Must be nice. Now I'm fucking embarrassed.
She's like, no. Right. Missed out.
Hey, let's go to the next tweet. Instagram should put a ban on all Photoshop on their platform. This isn't good for the psyche, and I think we could lower suicide rates.
Mm-hmm. That is what I think.
But so what about all the Insta
thoughts? We were talking about this, and it's like you have to create some type of algorithm that literally says, okay, this is used through specifically Facetune, and then it says, okay, now this was used to edit like this type of thing, like the body or, you know, things that like you do whatever you want to your photo. Like I, you know, but in my general opinion, having this whole like, okay, first of all, stop it. You're fucking beautiful. I tell Tana this all damn day. Oh my God. Like literally, but I know. And it's insecurities and I get it. And I'm very insecure on a lot of things, but as well as when you look up those ratios and look at how bad we're getting, we have to do something. And unfortunate, yes, it would be a little bit of a slap on the wrist. I'm sorry you can't edit your body or your butt to look bigger or like you to look more perfect. I'm sorry. But also, would you rather that or would you rather these suicide rates to keep going up higher and higher and higher and highest they've ever been? Like there just has to be, this isn't necessarily the answer, but there has to be something that these huge platforms are going to go out of their way to do to watch it because they are really in the wrong in the sense that they are letting this happen all over their platform. They let bullying happen. They do this. They let all these kinds of things. And look at what we're doing now. So we have to do something to at least try and help. Like, platforms.
You may know this. They've Instagram started. They started beta testing removing likes on photos. Did you know that?
I did hear about that. Yeah.
So it'll say liked by Bella Thorne and others. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a good first step?
I think that is definitely a really interesting one. And it might take us a while of like suicide rates maybe peaking up more because it's just everyone's like so used to what they're used to. And now all of a sudden, hold on, this is such a big change. But I think that it would definitely help in the long run for sure. It's just that the immediate change it would have, we would probably see it as like, oh, fuck, like maybe this wasn't the best idea. But in the long run, yeah, definitely. It's just it's going to take us a while to get used to and like it.
Mm. I got a text from somebody yesterday that you know and David knows actually, which is super interesting. You might know her too. That she's almost done with an app that can detect
the photoshopping.
It's almost done. It's almost done. It's so funny. It's so funny that we're having this conversation because literally yesterday she texted me and was like, "It's been in the works for 2 years."
That's awesome.
Yeah, people are finding out right now. This is from The Guardian. That social media platforms are using the same techniques as gambling firms to create psychological dependencies and ingrain their products lives of their users, experts warn. Mm-hmm. And they're saying methods activate the same brain mechanisms as cocaine and leads users to experience phantom notification buzzing.
Every time you see it, it's like it gives your mind like basically doing a line of coke. Every time you see it, boom, 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 boom. It's literally designed to do that.
Has your phone ever? Have you ever heard a buzz and you grab your phone and it didn't buzz?
I mean, Spencer, when you ask these types of questions, like, what do you want from me, guy? Like, okay, sure, I made a mistake once.
Also, another question. Whose phone's
phantom buzzing, bro?
Whose phone still buzz? Does anyone here have their... you have vibration?
It goes bzz, that's it.
I got have you ever full, been in full bed with someone?
It's not just about the buzz. It's about the literally the notification banner that coming across.
I have those
ding.
All turned off.
You don't.
I try to because. But have you ever been in bed with someone who has that vibration on, and someone's like blowing them up in the middle of their night, and
you're just sitting there like, do you want to check that? Because like it's chill. You just
Black Mirror.
You want to check it maybe?
Yeah, they're just snoring. You can't sleep because
Black Mirror just came out with an episode about this. It's called Smithereens. Just a little side
great note. Series, by the way. This new season is fucking
it's not the best ever. Some of the episodes are good.
I love it.
We got into an argument about it. You may have seen it. Follow us on Instagram at Impulsive Show. All right, here's the next one. Bella Thorne, I'm bored of being lonely. I just want you, Logan Paul. Was this about me? Like, what happened here? And when I saw this, I was gonna text you and be like, yo, like I can be there, but I don't know. I would think I was like working out or something. But what was going on here?
I was about to say,
you couldn't just stop the swell sesh to go take care of BT. Like, what's good?
How many relationships have you been in? Two. Is that why?
Look, man, I got a lot of things to work on.
You love the gym more than me.
Yeah, I'm bored of being lonely. I just want you. Yeah, that's basically my whole mental idea in general. Like I said earlier, I'm a relationship hopper and I just stay in long-term relationships, kind of one after another. I don't like dating around. I don't like being lonely. I'm a very lonely person. And I try to work on it all the time, actually. And it's a really difficult thing to beat. I will say, but when I'm alone in bed at night, I feel like the most vulnerable, like, images, this little flower, please come pet my flower. I'm right here.
That happens to me too. Yeah. Same thing.
I've walked in on him doing that before. He's like, please, I need water and new dirt. Yeah. I'm just a little flower. Can you pass the remote? I'm like, yo, Logan, what's good?
What kind of flower are you? I'm just curious. I took pictures of flowers when I was young.
A long stem red rose.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what that is. Long stem red rose?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know what that is. I'm a petunia. Yeah.
A petunia.
I would be a orchid.
Nice.
Because doesn't it bloom like once and then it just fucking like.
And if you touch the petals, you're just slowly killing it.
That's like me. Like if you ruffle my feathers, fucking, I fall apart. Don't ruffle me, bro.
All right, look, that's it. That's the end of this segment. That was cool.
Wow.
Thanks, Bella.
Holy shit, thanks.
More of the 280. We got to do that again. Wow. So I like diving in your mind with those tweets. And I want to dive in your mind with a passage here in your book.
Okay.
I want to read it because this one specifically, to be honest, I don't know what the fuck is happening. A lot of this book is awesome, and I love it. And there's a quarter of it where I could compare it to talking to someone on acid. if I'm being honest, here we go. What happened to your face? I tried to cut my own eye open with a box cutter. What's it look like? A cat scratched me. And then there's a cat with a box cutter. Saying
Danny chewed that.
What is this about?
It's an analogy. It basically means like when someone's like, oh, are you okay? And you're like, yeah, like a cat scratched me. Like, no, I tried to cut my eye open with a box cutter. What's it fucking look like? Like, it's basically saying when you're in that type of state of mind, you know, that is kind of how you feel. And then, you know, when you're in grief and people get really upset because they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And you're like, well, you didn't kill him, or like, you didn't do it. Like, sorry. Like, what do you mean? Like, and people feel really like empty statements by that. That is kind of what I'm referring to.
Gotcha. Here's one. Coincidences are for losers. Don't be a pussy. It's right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. This one I wrote for myself because I constantly say like, coincidence. Whoa, that's weird. That's weird. And I was just like, it's not a coincidence, man. Like, the universe is just strung together, and it is just not a fucking coincidence. If it's right, like, look at it. It's right in front of you. That, to me, in a sense, is a sign that you're either on the right path or you've been there, done that before. So, in a sense, you are on the right path. I think coincidence is there for and I constantly have to say this to myself all the time. I'm like, oh, my God, what a coincidence. And then I'm like, for losers, don't be a pussy, Bill.
Do you think everything you've written in this book is going to hold true for the rest of your life? Do you feel pretty solid, or are you a changing, molding, adapting?
If you notice, I put a lot of dates on things because a lot of things I wrote, like some of the things I wrote when I first turned 18, between 18 and 19, and I was like really figuring myself out and had so many questions that I literally could just, my brain was going to explode with all these questions. And I put them in there so that you know that this is where I started, and here is my progress. And as you get older, my thoughts are going to change. My opinions will change. They'll revert back. They'll keep going. Like,
are you
going
to make volumes of these? I feel
so
like
this is
awesome.
The first one. Okay. And then there will be the second one and the third.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you talk about coincidences. When you got involved in the Disney funnel, was that a weird coincidence? Because I read somewhere you only did that because you were about to become homeless and you needed money.
We were, yes. Yep. We were, you know, we were a very poor family growing up, and then we got money at one point, and then my mom got very sick, and my father, and all these other things happened. And then when we came up to LA, it just got harder and harder and more struggling and more struggling. And then Shake It Up. And it wasn't like, I didn't watch Disney growing up. The Grudge was one of the first movies I really like saw and loved. Like, I've only ever watched. And my sister actually loved Disney stuff. And I'm actually named after Belle. So really,
incredible.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be, but I just never did. And I was on Big Love at the time on HBO. And and that was just like not really scraping us by at all. You know, when you're on like such a big show, so many
such
numbers
a great
and
show,
da, da, da. Yeah, so amazing. And then it was like Shake It Up or... What's your other option?
Did you know about Big Love? We talk about that was the polygamy show, correct? Mm-hmm. It's a show about polygamy, and was it based in Utah?
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your role in that again?
I played Tansy Henriksen.
Was it a Mormon?
Oh my god!
Was it a Mormon thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool show. You should watch it. Like, really cool.
So we can talk about the trauma you've had in your life and you've experienced at such a young age. Was there ever a point where you made it per se and it made it better for you? Did your success ever give you a sense of relief?
Oh, definitely. When we were able to like eat lots of food, that was, you know, that was like different food, like, you know, it's quite hard to explain, but I did this KFC commercial and so they sent us a bunch of frozen chicken, and so that was all we had for a while, and then these like Stouffer's like coupons that we got from this event, and then that, and so it was nice to like go to Olive Garden and like
great bread,
go, you know, like do things like that. Like, that was so cool. And I remember when my mom got me my first nice thing, like an MCM bag. And like, that was such a cool, crazy moment of like, oh, we're able to do this kind of now. And then, you know, after Shake It Up, like obviously Shake It Up was a very short time, only 3 years. And so that then it was hard again for a minute. And then, you know, then it picked up again, able to make more money, and social media came about. And then I got an Instagram and, you know, that started happening. So
even when you were making it, you were going through a lot of shit. And there's this clip of you. We don't have to play it. But you know this one, mm-hmm. where you were talking about mm-hmm. you being abused at a young age. And this is actually when I reached out to you.
Mm-hmm.
How did that affect you being a young, blossoming Hollywood star?
I mean, I think that it probably was one of the reasons why I felt like I was so drowned, and I was in such a dark place growing up, and I contemplated suicide, and there was just like a lot of things. And I think it was because it was such a crazy thing of like, everyone knows everything about you, but this one thing that's so big and makes you literally who you are. It's literally changed me as a person completely. And it's happening for so long. And then all these people are around and you're just hiding this big secret. And it's so weird. And everyone's just there, but nobody is saying, like, it just made me feel like I was literally encased in this not a doll, but like this thing. And I'm literally like a Black Mirror episode, just like beating on the inside. It just, it made me literally feel like I was completely drowning. And I'm writing the series right now. And I have a scene that like really totally puts the character very much there. And it's just this feeling of, I don't know another way to describe it besides like drowning, like right before you have a panic attack. Have you ever had a panic attack? So like the moment right before you have a panic attack where you feel like it's like, it's quite undescribable. Yeah. It's that's how I felt for a lot of my years growing up. Because you know, it was only, when I was 18 and I moved out, he moved out a week after me. So it's like, so just crazy. I mean, like 18, like I was like hella famous by then. Like, yeah. What the fuck? Literally, what the fuck? It's so weird. You know, he's there the whole entire time. He drove me to set. He was, you know, in my dressing room. He and you've watched
never,
me. On,
you've never like, revealed who this person was?
No. Yeah, I didn't. And I talk about that. You read that one too in the book.
Can I ask why?
I don't know, but I think that one, it was already such a big moment for me to kind of go out about this. So then it was like, then they'll know what he looks like and they'll imagine it and they'll just put him there, you know, and I just don't really... I don't know. And going after him, I talk about that a lot in the book too, of like this self-hatred I have because the police, you know, they make their victims feel like villains. And, you know, so many people don't ever report the abuse. And that's, it's not a question. Oh, why not? Why do you think? Of course, because of this system. And so for me, I have such a hard time. I call it, it's called selfish in there. And it's literally about me being selfish. I am selfish because I won't just put myself through the pain of describing every story in detail that I've spent so long trying to forget and have reworked my mental brain so that I don't have flashbacks all the time. And to go back there again, over and over and over and watch somebody look at you and basically has to question if you're lying at every point in time when you're just trying to tell your story, that I think might really hurt me on the inside. Like it might break me in a sense, you know, and I call it selfish. Yeah. Because it just seems very selfish and I just have to give myself the chance not to be selfish.
Do you think you'll ever reach a point where, you feel like expressing yourself and just letting everything out will make you feel better to live the rest of your life with a clear mind?
I'm hoping that's what this book will do. You know, I've for so long have felt so like weird when all these people like, you know, I feel like so many people just hate me in a sense. And like, it's, you know, it definitely gets to me and it's really hard because everyone around me is always like, well, if everyone just knew you'd be, like they love you, like, you know, you're you. And with this book, it was one of the things of besides the mental disarray, it was kind of like, here I am, read me like an open book. Like I'm literally right here. Like this is my mental shit. When Tana read some of the first few pages, she was literally like, you haven't even told me some of this shit. Why are you putting this in the book? This is so out there. And now I'm just like, hopefully that will make me feel better because I really do feel like, you know, I never went to therapy, but like the first time I had to tell someone about what had happened and then that was the worst time ever. The first time is always going to be the worst. So then if you talk about it more and more and more and you almost, it sounds fucked up, but normalize it in your mind, it starts to hurt less every single time. And so I think that this will help me a lot. I'm hoping, of course, it will help other people, but it is selfish in the sense that this is, you know, I want this book to really help me mentally, like really, I don't know, like open my brain. I don't know. I guess I'm always searching for an answer and, you know, I'm thinking maybe this book will be it. I don't know.
Do you have a message to any other girls out there that have had that happened to them, do you have any words of, you know, courage or strength or anything like that that you'd want to say to someone who's been through the same thing that you have?
As I was saying earlier, you know, you can't really give advice to anybody on this scenario without knowing the, you know, there, you know, there's so many lines that you can't really give advice if, because everything is so unique. You know, you could say to somebody like, oh, well, tell your mom. Well, what if your mom doesn't believe you? Or what if your mom beats you for it? Or what if your father does this to you for it? Or, you know, oh, well, go tell this person. And what if that person tells the whole school and then everybody thinks that you're this, you know, like there's it's just really specific. But what I will say is, you just have to literally keep fighting, because there's too many times in my life where I thought that maybe fighting wasn't worth it anymore, but it just is. It is every single time. And after you get beaten down again and again and again, you have to just keep fighting, even when you feel like it might kill you, because what's better? Being yourself, being out of that situation, getting to live your life the way you should be allowed to and not be taken advantage of, or death? I'd rather fight this day to death than let it happen again and again and again, you know? And that is what I didn't do then. And I wish I had. And I was so young and I was so like, you know, it started when I was the first time I can remember was when I was 6. And that wasn't the first time. That was after it had already been happening. So I don't know. But it was so normal that I didn't know it was wrong for so long. And that is something is so hard to mentally get past. That and Stockholm Syndrome are two of the most fucked up things that in this situation, you hate yourself for it. You feel disgusting, but you're not a bruised fruit. Your fruit is still beautiful. You can still buy it at the supermarket. It's not bruised.
What's the go-to direction from people in authority or in the health community or mental health community in terms of what people should do if they have been through this? Are they direct? Are we supposed to direct people in the audience that may have been through it to talk to a therapist, to talk to someone they trust at their school? Like, I understand what you said about, you know, if you tell your best friend, she may tell the school. If you tell your mom, she may be jealous. Who is the good person to talk to if you're dealing with something like this? I've talked to therapists about trauma that I've been through. It's been helpful. Mm-hmm. I was just curious why a therapist wasn't something that you ever...
Because therapy wasn't a thing in our family. But I'm also was raised, you know, like this is different now. When I was younger, it was still normal to beat the shit out of your kids. So let me tell you, nobody was looking like that was weird. It is not normal now.
Yeah, I got thrown down the stairs a couple of times. Greg Paul. Yeah.
Not this again.
I deserved it. I deserved it.
He says that is not true. He maintains. He maintains
no child
that.
Deserves to be thrown down the stairs.
Did he give you like a little shove, or was it like a full out like toss?
It was strategic, bro. Like, I'm being okay. There were three stairs. It was like a staircase that led to another staircase. There was three stairs, and he threw me down. I hit the wall, and it was fine, bro. I was fine, and like
maybe he was. Just,
I turned out just fine, right? I feel fucking great.
Yeah, dude.
That's why you have that good. Lump in your skull.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just testing the drywall out. Like, he just had it installed.
Who knows, but yeah. I'm sure he had a reason. Shout out, Greg.
Oh, I don't know, man.
I love you, Greg, even though you sold that pickup truck.
I don't know.
Violence.
No.
All right, Mr. Bean Man. What's the best way to discipline your kin? Did you say
having mental control over your child is the best way.
Come on, mind control. Come on, that's impossible.
I'm your parent, and so therefore, like the repercussions, it should not be to abuse them. Those repercussions are never gonna work. One, two, it's fucked up morally, and three,
I don't know if abuse is the right word. Abuse implies repetition. Okay. To me.
So you're saying he threw you down the staircase once and he never touched a hair on your head after that?
I mean, he did some other things, but like as a little kid. No, like I was not. No, but I was not abused. I was disciplined.
What about?
And sure, it may have been a little more physical than the average parent, but also I turned out a little more average than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
What about spankings?
And so did Jake, by the way. There's two of us. Like, something as fucked up as we are,
something did go right in our childhood.
Right. I think discipline, like discipline's a completely different thing than like throwing someone downstairs. Yeah. Like you can,
I hit the wall flat, bro. By the way, it was strategic. GP has argued this throw for the longest time. I don't know if this has been created in Logan's head.
You know what's fucked up is that Logan normalizes it as that I deserved it. And that's honestly the worst part.
And by the way, I'm setting a horrible example because now I'm saying, I don't know if that really happened. Like who's to, it happened. I'm sorry. Logan says it happened. He died. It happened. Right?
Yo, but I'm just,
I think like, I'm not a victim.
I am a fully functioning human being, man.
But you don't know what kind of like traumas you hold on to. You really don't. Like
the traumas I hold on to are not from.
You should just do the whole show.
Wow.
You should just.
Why do you think he's on the show? Why do you think he's on the show? Because he provides that perspective. But I'm saying,
100% in your life, everything that happened to you when you were younger, you don't even notice at all. They're all subconscious.
For sure.
Yes,
100%. It's like an onion. You have that thing happen, and you put another layer, all these layers go on top of it.
And then when you peel it back, your eyes just water more and more.
I love
what
onions.
The deeper you get, like the more fucked up that onion.
Onions?
Gets
I like onions.
Eyes, man.
Oh, you like onions.
No, I love onions.
You ate an onion on Jimmy Kimmel, right? Just took a bite out of an onion.
Can I say, by the way, balance, dude. Like, don't punch your kids in the face. Don't throw them down the stairs. I ain't against a little spanking. I saw a video a while back recently about a kid who was at his graduation. He was a 4 or 5 year old kid. You may be able to even pull it up. You know which one I'm talking about? The kid that's.
I saw one in a bathroom and a kid was yelling at his dad in the bathroom and calling. I want to ask you. I want to find this video. Well, because it's in the same vein. I want to find this video and ask you how you would discipline this kid.
Hard because it's like, but look at how you raised that kid, that you let that kid get there to even think that they, okay, what I was saying about mental control is authority. You have authority over your children. And if you have literally like, you know, just put that in their smoothie every single day until they're older, then you shouldn't have to be disciplining your children by throwing them down the stairs.
Life isn't perfect, though, Bella. Like, you're like, who knows what could happen that your kid thinks.
I think the best way to do it is to lead.
Child, unfortunately, but also that like society. Look at what you, you have to look at your circumstances, and you can't blame the child. Look at what the child is growing up in.
Send you a link.
You have to lead by example. Like I think a perfect example is. Parents always tell you got to eat your vegetables,
but they never do.
And their plate is just there's nothing
on
it.
Or make your bed, but they don't.
Yeah,
you do what you watch. Are you listening?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
because we're convincing you, not ourselves. Yeah.
I know
we
we're kind of just vibing. We're preaching to the choir over here.
I really don't.
I don't think they were listening. I think they just said.
No, I took on this challenge to find this gosh dang video. Oh, here's one. What went wrong here? I'm sure you've seen this. This is a preschool graduation.
Good afternoon, parents. Good afternoon, boys and girls.
Shut the fuck up.
Hey.
Oh.
Nice.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
You need...
This little fucking kid.
No, there's more.
Wait. You gotta play. There's something coming in after that, bro.
Yeah,
gotta,
shit.
Play the whole thing.
I've made it.
Look at this guy. This guy.
So sorry. So how's everyone been?
No, play it again. Good.
That's playing.
Yeah, I think it is, Mark.
The volume? It's gone.
Boys and girls!
Shut the fuck up!
Hey!
Not
nice.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Like, how does that kid know that?
No, bitch!
Okay. Oh, no, bitch.
So he says, shut the fuck up.
Oh, he's just on his way out.
What do you do? What do you do?
You don't say shut the fuck up in front of your children.
Right.
What if they learn it at school?
I was about to say, when they do learn it at school, you have to really find a way between you and your partner and you have to do that while you don't do that like after all of a sudden the problems are coming up. Oh no, let's deal with them now. Let's cross that bridge when we get to it. You know with your partner that you should be having these discussions, especially so that you both agree and you don't go into some relationship not agreeing with how you both want to raise your children, because that can also be just a recipe for disaster. But I mean, Like, I feel bad for that kid.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'm just now thinking of the scenario where his mom or dad is yelling at one another or yelling at him saying, shut the fuck up. And then it's just kind of sticking in his mind. And it is now coming out in a place where clearly he feels uncomfortable. I mean, we could get, like, you know, so many people in here to really diagnose this kid with how many fucked up things have probably happened in his life that he feels the need to have an outburst like that.
All right. Well, something happened.
Hey, should we do the audio only?
I think it'd be a nice
I
time.
Feel like that. It's like this, Bella, but it's audio only.
Yeah. You can still smoke. People just won't see it.
Just make more noises with it so people
if
know
people
you're smoking.
If people won't see it, then I can't smoke. Like,
that's why I'm doing
she does it for the people.
True.
Bella, thank you so much for coming on Impulsive today.
Thanks for having me.
For real. Bella's book, The Life of a Wannabe Mogul, Mental Disarray, Volume 1, is out July 23rd. Where can they buy it? Is it going to be in Barnes & Nobles?
Uh-huh.
Barnes & Nobles?
Nobles, I believe.
We got it. Yeah.
Barnes & Nobles?
Yes.
Nobles.
Oh, yeah, we out here.
Dang.
Stores, me
that's
and libraries.
Awesome. Will it be black or red? Because you talked about the colors.
The first one is red.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Black. Buy the book. I'm going to keep this one. Thank you so much, Bella. You can find her on Instagram at Bella Thorne. It's very obvious. Follow us on Instagram at Impulsive Show and subscribe. We're going to do an audio only with Bella right now. We're going to get juicy. We're going to dive deep. Spotify and iTunes. It's way exclusive. We love you. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Peace.
Yay.
Payphone just ringing.
Wow, I think I'm high now. I think I got contact high.
Yeah. Oh.
You guys are over there, bro. I'm high as a kite.
Well, at least your eyes aren't getting.
Hey, when are you trying to have kids, Bella?
What?
Are you trying to have kids?
Is that an invite?
No, but I would love kids, of course.
Any specific age?
I would love kids when I always say, like, I want to be so rich by the time I have kids. I know this sounds terrible, but I just want to. I know that working moms, like, I love it. Like, I love it, but I personally want to spend so much time, like, really studying my kid and learning about, like, I don't know, like, I just have a feeling that after I have kids, I'm gonna be like, all right, work's going on hold for a good minute over here, and I'm gonna want to, like, do some crazy things with these kids. And I don't know, because I want to give, which is not a good thing, I want to give my kids everything they want, because of course I never had anything, so that's not the best way to raise your kids. But of course, I know that
how
I will
are you gonna
be
combat that.
I know,
because it's valid and it's concerned. I don't want to raise a kid in LA. I think this
that's
is a horrible place to raise
that's
a
what
kid.
I said I don't want to raise a kid in LA.
What am I out of my mind?
Yeah,
I want to go to Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, where they have to play with trees for fun.
Yeah,
you gotta be careful with places like that too, as well, though, because
there's crazies in there.
Some of the places Rapid where rivers. There's really nothing else to do. Those kids get really heavy into drugs because there's nothing else to do starting from a young age in high school.
The high school I went to was called Heroin High. That was the nickname.
What?
Heroin
name?
High.
Really?
It was called Westlake High School, nicknamed Heroin High. Because
there's so many high schools.
Yeah,
like that.
And where Mike grew up,
God.
I mean,
because city, there's nothing else to do around, literally.
My city was called Milford, but everyone called it Pilford because there were so many Oxy 80s floating around. We got drowned in those pills.
That's so scary. Schooling, that's another thing. Like, you know, I don't want to have a kid right now. One, I think I'm too young. Two, because I'm like, this education system, a lot of these systems, like, I'm probably more on the hippie side of, like, moving to a community with other hippie people that we all raise our children in this classroom in a sense that is, like, you know, their own classroom or something that has multiple different tutors in and out all the time, getting them, like, I want to teach my kids about agriculture and, like, literally
great
how
topic.
To fucking grow shit, okay? Because in this universe, look at what we're doing. We are just killing everything. So, like, things to me that are, like, you know, like, there's some math things where you have to learn so much in math that you don't use, but then some of the other things in math are actually really important and you don't pay attention to those because you spend so much time learning the shit that you're kind of like, oh, that just goes to the back of my mind and then it just sits there and then it just dissipates slowly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I want to be so specific on the things to teach my children that's another reason that I wouldn't want to have kids in this soon future, because I just haven't figured out 100% what I think about all that.
Standardized tests are what really screwing it up.
I got really good score on those though, dude, so
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the problem, though, is that we're pressuring kids to go for high scores, and we're forcing tons of
about it.
Yeah, psychologists know that when you force a bunch of information in a short period of time, the brain can't process all of that. The brain needs resting time. So we have all these like pressures to prepare for tests. Your brain can't handle that.
There was also that study they did that says like the time that we start school. The first the first 2 to 3 hours is like it's gone. The brain doesn't.
Oh, because it's so early.
Kids are chronically sleep deprived.
Yeah,
so that's what they're discovering that
like,
as well.
What is it, 9 or something?
9 or 10. Yeah. 10 is the optimal time to start school because kids, when they're developing,
now they're running
they need
it like 7:38.
Yeah,
my morning bell first period 7:35.
Kids are chronically
like they literally don't retain the information that they learned in the first 2 to 3 hours. Yeah. They don't like the brain doesn't actually retain the information. That is fucked up. Damn. And why don't we fix that? Because we don't care enough. So that's not a big deal to us, but it is because it's raising our generations and our future. Like, what do you mean? That is where exactly you should start is with the education system because that is how the universe just keeps going. Guys, like, what are you doing over here?
I think the generation right under Gen Z, the next one, the newest one, I think they're gonna be fucking geniuses. Those are the ones that are gonna make you like live forever and like clone you and do all the stuff that's like technically impossible. Yeah. I think
our generation
big on
is
education.
Gonna free them. Like, I think we're. I agree with you. I think we're gonna,
it's just gonna take a little bit of time for like the tech and the like. The education system to truly be flipped on its head. Oh, yeah. That's not an easy switch. Because, I mean, you know, where the change starts where government.
In this situation, no. Not partially. It's kind of from the top down and grassroots up. Because there's a lot of...
I think we have to push for it or else it will like literally change.
Yeah, people have to lead it. So what's happening right now, which is really cool, is that there's some big tech companies that are getting really involved in education. So there's a lot of money that's getting pumped in instead of the government pumping money into education. Mm-hmm. When the government, since they've been pumping money into education, it hasn't fixed it. Mm-mm. You know, we haven't seen those changes yet. So I think tech and
where's
what's happening in California is huge.
Bitch, I'm paying a crazy amount of taxes. Where is it? I don't see it on the streets. I don't see it in the educational system. I don't see it in fucking the medical system. I don't see it anywhere. Where is it all going?
Military.
I just wanna know.
Military is where most
a lot
of it
military
goes.
And a lot back in the billionaires' pockets too. That's why there's such rich people.
That's
true. Definitely grassroots up and top. Exactly what he said, 100%. Because if we don't, as a society, put our foot down and say no, nothing will ever change. Yeah. We have to force their hand in a sense and say, look, we're not okay with this. And we're not going to either keep giving you money. We're not going to, like, there has to be something that they have to listen to us about in order to actually flip it on its head. Yeah. Otherwise,
look at the college admission scandal that took place with some of these famous moms that wanted their kids to get into USC.
Shout out Olivia Jade. What's good?
That's like the epitome of what's going wrong right now. Like, if you think about what is our goal with education? When I was walking, I have pictures on my phone. When I was walking in Santa Monica, there's these images of our kids are college bound. And I was looking at the school and it was an elementary school. And I was like, what? I was like, they're programming. They want these kids to go to college. They're bragging that this elementary school gets them college ready. That's what our goal in the United States is. I went to Finland, which is the number one education system in the world. Their goal is to create people who are mindful. Mindfulness is in their curriculum. Yep. Their goal is to create enlightened people. That terminology, creative imagination, that's what their goals are. Mm-hmm. Their goals aren't to produce people for college. That's the system that we have in the United States.
Yeah. Wow,
we want
to
produce people that are college ready.
I think I'm marrying you.
Well, it's just unfortunate.
a
girlfriend.
Hi, Angel.
Oh, wait.
And I did not know visual. Finland was the number one education system.
What's
number
the
one.
Metric for success?
Wow, it's amazing.
Well, so ironically, Finland actually scores the best on standardized tests. I think it's like, I forget what the actual, the measurement with all the countries are, but they spend the least amount of time in school. They don't have any homework and, they don't take standardized tests to determine where they go. So standardized testing doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't determine anything.
I'd love
because they have a free education, so they have no pressure.
The homework was a big thing that they also mentioned in that same study that I read about. The homework just it being like too doesn't long. Yeah, it just doesn't.
Kids
really,
are developing. Mm-hmm. They're developing. They don't need homework. They need to go home and they need to be a kid. They need to experience life. They
are
don't
you
need
sure?
to go home and
so
do
that.
That
when they
positive.
Go back in the morning, are they are sure? more willing and ready to be there and actually pay yeah, attention yeah, because agree. They have a life. They have yeah. other things. You
the
know?
Brain can only yeah. handle a specific amount of time per day to yeah. learn. And information, cramming information mm-hmm. in is not learning. Mm-hmm. Learning is something that comes from within.
So you pull information
you experience
out.
It. Mm.
I'd love to see how Finland compares to like China, which has the most rigorous education system. I mean, how many hours a day are the kids in school there?
Was it 10 to 12 hours
a day?
It's up there. I went to China too yeah. for their education system. Japan's actually number two, and they're kind of it, what you're describing. They spend tons of time in school and they have tutors after school.
But
China's
China
the same.
Is China the highest though?
No, they're higher than the United States with standardized testing.
Not in scoring. I just mean in the rigorousness of the program. Like the kids are there yeah. all day. Are yeah, they there 6 days a week?
It's much more intense. It's much more intense.
I think it's 6 days a week.
It depends.
Too.
It depends on which schools. But yeah, it's much more intense.
Can I completely? That was great.
Holy shit.
The education, super great to talk about.
Look out!
Let's move.
Hey, can I ask an off the wall question? I'm mm-hmm. curious because you mentioned it. You said you don't shave your leg hair. Mm. What's the theory, logic, mentality there? Because Riley Reid doesn't
she just
either.
Called both of us, by the way. Oh, as soon as you said not shaving, I thought of Riley and I just realized she texted us too. She has questions.
I think that with shaving, it's like, okay, well, obviously the bigger, more obvious topic is the whole feminist side of it of I shouldn't have to, you don't, blah, 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 and this and that. And that is obviously something that I stand for. And another thing that people don't see as much is, bitch, I'm lazy. Like, you know, like, what? Like I'm going to shave. Like you think in my I never sleep. I run how many businesses? What am I doing? How many movies do I do a year? How much shit am I always doing? Literally, you think in the morning when I shout, I'm going to get up for an extra 20 minutes and then I'm going to get razor burn. And then like, you guys don't know how this is on the legs and on everywhere and on the armpit. Oh my God.
I don't know.
If you did, you would literally be like, I don't want to do this shit either. Okay. Because one, it's also really painful and itchy. Two, I don't think it's good for the skin. And I think it's probably really bad as well as depending on the metals and the chemicals that are in the shaver itself. I'm just thinking of slicing up your leg because you're taking off that first little layer. And so therefore with that first layer, then you're also putting what chemicals right on it every single day. Like I'm just thinking in my mind, like that just doesn't sound healthy. Like so I really want to get an IUD, but I am like, oh, a piece of metal right next to my uterus, ooh, just sitting up there for years without taking, like in my brain, I'm like, that just hasn't been tested long enough. That just in 40 years, what does that do to your uterus? Like, I'm just thinking, like, I just can't, because I'm so weird about the medical system, all those things, I'm like, oh, this is also problematic.
What about vaccines?
Oh, yeah. I don't know how I feel about vaccines either.
Oh, no.
I just don't know how I feel.
The publicist is like this.
You know,
don't answer the question.
I just haven't decided in my mind. I don't know.
I'll be honest with you, Belle. I shave my balls quite often. All right. And it feels nice. I like having smooth balls. I don't know how to say that. I appreciate the fact that you don't.
Well, I get what she's saying.
Everyone has their
own. Yo, that's super practical.
I know.
And like, that's.
I've got two best friends that love to shave their legs because they're like, it's clean. It feels nice.
Tana, do you shave your legs?
Shaving your balls? She's getting all sexual. Logan.
She's getting I can't tell if she's sexual
or a baby.
Upset.
Or a baby.
Well, or you could just tell me now because you're here. She shaves her legs.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's
settled.
And
that's
exactly.
Your choice.
I've actually shaved my legs and armpits
well,
for
you're
swimming.
A swimmer, yeah.
And a vegan.
Armpits suck.
It does
those suck. When those grow back,
I have my armpit waxed.
Wait, you're talking about the armpit hair or the armpit itself?
When it grows back.
When your armpit grows back.
Correct.
What happened to it? Where'd it go?
It just,
you're like, God dang it, I just got this arm. It goes right to my
it's a hole.
What time is it, by the way?
I think it's like 6:30 p.m. Eastern.
Want to wrap it up?
I'm not saying that. Okay, yeah, because I got that Sony meeting at 3.
Well, she got that Sony meeting at 3.
Sony meeting at 3.
Bella, thank you so much. We love you. Thank you, seriously.
Thank you for having me.
Hit that subscribe button, rate us 5 stars, or I'll end you. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.